everyone, and welcome to episode 66 of Bike Club. This is Eileen.
This is Stephanie.
This is Shannon.
And this is Josh.
And we are back. This is Bike Club Show, the podcast where we drink deeply from our favorite shows and devour every detail. Does that sum it up?
Nice.
That was from
I like that.
WEMB, W-E-M-B, who gave us our other intro slogan that I've been saying week after week.
It's very cool.
Yeah, I think
sounds good. It's very dramatic.
It's very dramatic.
I like the devour every detail.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But drink deeply. I mean, does it sound like a food show? Drink deeply?
It's not quite, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
I don't say fantastic anywhere or vampires.
Yeah, the other one might be a little bit more on the nail for what our subject is, but both of them are good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because there is a bikeclub.com, and it is a food website, and from Canada, I believe. Oh. So, and a lot of times I like to try and make sure I say Bike Club Show. I don't always, but because, bikeclubshow.com is our URL. But anyways, thank you, WEMB, again for that. This week we have the fourth? Yeah, we're on the fourth episodes of season two of Vampire Diary, Memory Lane, and we have a little bit of news. And once again, Lynn is out. For those of you who may have missed our last episode, she is out for the next several weeks gallivanting in Southern Asia, I believe. So she is off on her whirlwind trip and will be back in November. All right, a little bit of housekeeping. This is Bike Club Show. BikeClubShow.com, as I said earlier, is our website. Our email, BikeClubShow@gmail.com. And you could also find us on Twitter at Bike Club Show. Now, we start every episode with our wine selection of the week. I actually have one. I am not drinking it now, but I had it earlier in the week and I kept the bottle. And I got this at Trader Joe's. It is a 2009 Merlot Malbec. I guess you can combine. And this one's from Chile. And it's called Panilonco. And there's a lion on the front. And I got it mainly because of the lion on the front and also the price. It was $3.99 at Trader Joe's. You can't beat that. It's a decent table wine. And you know, there's not much to say about it. It's a cheap wine. It's not disgusting. it's decent. And, you know, I like to give wines that I like. You know how you do like Netflix, right? You like 1 star, 2 stars, 3 stars. Yeah. I like it. 4 stars. I really like 5 stars. Oh my God. I love it. So I don't want to say like I've rated a lot of wines at 3 fangs. And that's like, you know, you go out and buy that. And this one, you know, I think for the wine snobs out there, well, probably then people won't like it, but it's still okay. Like for me, I'm not really a wine connoisseur. I just like, we drink wine on the show and, you know, we like to find affordable wines. I will give this 2.5 fangs, but it's leaning towards 3, but I didn't want to give it a 3 because I've given many better, much better wines a 3. So I'm trying to like
2.75 fangs.
Yeah, I'm trying to be really critical, you know, with the wines at least.
How about this? How does it stack up to my
Two Buck Chuck?
Solid favorite. Yeah.
Two Buck Chuck is better. Okay. 2 Buck Chuck is better. But this is not bad. And it's not bad. You should try it. And I'll read the back. The smooth red combines the ripe fruit flavors of Merlot with the rich blackberry notes of Malbec to give an intensely fruity, soft, full-flavored wine. Delicious on its own, this wine is the perfect partner for roast lamb. Maybe that's why I didn't have a roast lamb, steak, barbecued meats, or cheese. I didn't have that when I ate this. I think I had like some sort of chicken dish. I didn't follow the directions. I didn't realize there was any. That was the first time I actually read the back.
You just need to get your hubby to cook a little bit of for you. It'll be good.
Yeah, you know, we had a little heat wave, so I was into salads this week. Now it's considerably cooled down, but maybe I'll get this again and have it because I have a slow cooker and I plan to do like a beef stew and all that good stuff. So hopefully maybe
come over.
Yeah. You know, it's starting to feel like fall, so maybe I'll buy this at $3.99. Can't lose. Anybody else? Stephanie?
Well, I had a big day today. I ran my very first half marathon in San Jose.
Yay. Congratulations.
Ooh, thank you. But the interesting part is that afterwards, you think that, you know, like you're supposed to go eat and drink water. Nope. Well, they were serving Miller's Genuine Draft. It's normally a beer I wouldn't choose, just because, you know, it's just like your standard, you know, like Bud or Miller's, whatever. And, you know, after a 13-mile run, it's the best thing in the entire world. It was like so refreshing.
Wow.
So bubbly. Cool. And anyway, so I'm on my Miller's high right now. So.
All right.
Nice.
Good.
Well, good. Anybody, Shannon, you drinking anything right now?
Oh, just some delicious non-alcoholic vitamin water. It tastes like orange. I'll give it four fangs. It's all pretty right. Delicious.
Nice.
All right, cool. All right, we'll take that. Okay, well, why don't we go ahead and we have some news. So let's just go ahead and get into the news. I feel like I'm just doing a promo every week for Vote the Scream Awards, everybody. I haven't done it yet, quite honestly. Did you?
You Shannon, can do it more it, than right? once. Yeah.
I voted last week, but not since.
There's supposedly a new category, and Lynn's favorite vampire, Alexander Skarsgård, is in that category.
There are 30 categories. That's
there's a lot of categories. So best, you know, special effects. Best television performance. Is that the one? Yes, this is the one. Alexander Skarsgård is here. He is up against Matthew Fox from Lost, Michael C. Hall from Dexter, Zachary Quinto from Heroes, and Anna Torv on Fringe. I think he's going to win that one.
Yeah, I voted for him.
Okay, you did. Great.
Twice. Yeah, you can go back in and vote again. I think it starts over like every, I don't know, 24 hours or something.
Okay, I'm going to vote after we record our show because I keep talking about it and I haven't voted. I'm like, keep doing it, and then I'm not doing it. So I will, I will act what I say. So vote, and those awards will be handed out on October 19th. Okay, and just a couple of other news before we get into Twilight, True Blood, and Vampire Diaries. Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. 20th Century Fox has acquired the rights for the film.
Yay!
And it looks like it might even be in 3D. Mm. I don't know about that. Blood. Josh, you're like, yeah, like are you anti-3D, Josh?
I'm anti, like, doing it for the sake of doing it. I guess
We don't know if they're going to actually shoot it in 3D or if it's going to be done in post. We don't know that yet.
Yeah, and that's always lame, too. If it's in post, I have less sympathy. Yeah. But, I mean, there are a bunch of action sequences in the book. So if it was done well and if it was shot for 3D, maybe that could actually be fun. But if it's something they slap in in post just to have another 3D movie, then I say boo.
Well, Tim Burton is producing Timur Bekmambetov. I don't really know this director, but he did Wanted. It was Angelina Jolie, right?
Action movie.
And Night Watch. The film is budgeted at $69
million. Whoa.
Wow.
Not bad. Right.
So, I'm not really familiar with Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Is this a real book or...
It's a novel. Fiction.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not fiction like work. One of those vampire mashup books that we...
Well, what do you mean? Like, you mean like Pride, Prejudice, Zombies?
A few weeks ago we were talking about how books are starting to be turned into vampire books, like The Little Woman.
Well, this is actually, they're taking his... Vampire,
I think it was by the same author as Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yes, Seth Graham Smith. And I mean, and they're basically taking the autobiography of Abraham Lincoln and smashing it and turning it around and making him a vampire hunter. In a sense, it is kind of a smash. Yeah,
but it's very straight-faced. I mean, that was I talked about this on a previous episode. That was the thing that surprised me about it, is that it was not done in a tongue-in-cheek way like Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. It's told very much like a serious horror story. So
okay.
So, are you looking forward to the film, Josh?
Or? I'm interested. I'll track how it happened. I mean, its progress, and I'll see.
Okay. Well, we're looking forward to that, and it sounds like the studio is planning for a 2012 release, so not anytime soon. This weekend I saw the movie Let Me In, which is the U.S. version of the Swedish film released in 2008 of Let the Right One In. And
good. At least one of us got to see it.
Yeah, I went to really late last night. I wanted to see it before the show, but I will say that it is a very faithful and solid U.S. version of that Swedish film. In fact, there's a lot of scenes that are very shot for shot, you know, and scenes that are shot for shot. Like, oh, this is when they did this. Oh,
wow,
I know.
That's cool. Mm.
Yeah. And the acting is really good. Chloe, oh, I forget her middle name, Moritz, who's kick-ass, you know, who's the hit girl. She was great. She was really, really good as the vampire in this. And I like the fact that it was set in the 80s. Sometimes the 80s music is a little distracting. Like, you'll recognize some 80s songs, like, you know, Culture Club and David Bowie and things like that. But, you know, they were trying to, like, kind of say this is the time. This is that year. I will say that I was expecting maybe a little bit more. And I thought maybe they may, like, step it up and do something maybe a little bit different. They were more faithful to the original. So I think if you've seen the original Swedish film, you may not be so impressed. You know what I mean? It's good, but the fact that if you know what's happening and you've seen it on screen already in the same kind of way, just with different actors in a different location, it's kind of like, oh, right, this is when this happens. This is when this happens.
So they didn't really add anything.
No, and I will say the thing about it is that they didn't wreck it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think for audiences, like U.S. audiences who don't want to read subtitles and don't want to, you know, don't want to watch it dubbed. I think that those people, you know, introducing it to a new audience on this continent is a good thing. Like, they didn't screw it up is all I'm saying. But if you're a real fan of the Swedish version, I don't even think you need to see it.
I haven't seen either of the movies yet. Do you think that if I watch the English one first and then the, is it Norwegian one?
Swedish.
Second? Swedish. Do you think that would be a better way to go about it? Or should I just...
I am interested to find out, actually. I don't know if you want to take on that experiment, Shannon.
Yeah, why not?
I'm in the same boat. And being that the English or the American version is so just in our faces right now, I might actually just go ahead and watch the American version.
It'd be interesting for both of you to let me know what you think of the American version without having seen the Swedish version. Josh, okay. I will say that the pacing is a lot different, obviously, for U.S. audiences. And for those of you who know the original film, the slow creep, the quietness, and the slow, like, crescendo of the film, and it gets sort of monstrous and monstrous as you go along, is totally not in this film. And I was disappointed because I love that part of the Swedish film. So, I mean, you basically get something really shocking at the top of the film, and it's like, oh,
really?
They take something in the middle of the film for the Swedish version and put it at the top. And then they go back and they're like, oh, 2 weeks earlier kind of thing.
I guess they need to do that to catch an English audience and American audience.
Yeah, so, you know, you're right. They had to do that. So that's why it's a little bit different. And, you know, again, if you've seen the Swedish film, it's sort of like you kind of know, oh, it's this scene. Oh, you're going to know what's going to happen, Josh. I'm curious to know what you think of this version of the film because, you know, we reviewed it on this show, I don't know, six, 7 months ago with Lynn when we watched it on Netflix. I know we all were really positive about that version and we're very skeptical of the new version that was going to come out. Now that it's here, I'm really curious to hear what you say. Again, they didn't ruin the film. So I think people who don't know anything about it, I think they should enjoy it. It's a very solid, this is not Daybreakers or The Wolfman or some crappy movies that we've seen, you know, earlier this year in our genre. Thank God it is a decent film. And the kids are great. The two kids are great. It's just like the end scene, Josh, is exactly the same scene. You know what I mean? Right. It's like, oh, really? Oh, okay.
Well, I'll try.
It's like shot for shot.
Yeah, maybe I'll try to catch a matinee of it this week.
You should. You should. Because I'd like to get to know what you think about it. So those of you who haven't seen it, go and see it. It's a great vampire film. Those of you who have already seen the other one, you don't have to. Unless you like that girl. She's a really good actress. I think we're going to see more to come.
Did you think the portrayals are equal in strength between the two actresses playing the leads?
Actually, yeah. She's really good. Wow. That girl, okay. Chloe's really good. You know, but that other girl, I mean, the thing is, it came out of nowhere where you didn't know, you know, like for those of us who saw the Swedish film first, sort of like we didn't know what was going on. I hadn't read the book or anything, so I didn't really know what was coming at me. And so that's why it was so like revelatory for me, you know, and like, oh my God, you know, and a little girl can pull that off.
Right.
But I also think in casting, that was the right girl to cast because she's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she was good. So I have nothing positive to say. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't have anything way negative to say. It's just, you know, comparing apples and oranges, you know, it's sort of like the one takeaway is that they didn't ruin the film. So I think that's a win already. Okay. So
that's encouraging.
Yay. Okay, moving on to Twilight news. The director of Breaking Dawn issued a letter to fans and just kind of giving us a little bit. He's like been under the radar. It's been 5 months since he last spoke to the fans, and he's, you know, reaching out, saying that he's in pre-production right now and everything's moving along. And, you know, there's some new casting, the various, you know, people behind the scenes he wanted you to know about, the cinematographer, the costume designer, makeup designer, blah, blah, blah. So I think that was nice of him to touch base. What did you guys think?
I think it's good for him to say something, because if he goes off the radar for too long, people are going to forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice.
Yeah, agreed. I'm thrilled to hear some of these people in his list. For example, Michael Wilkinson, who did the costume designing for Tron Legacy, and 300. I'm excited to see what he does for the new movies. That's, I'm just like, I can't wait.
I know. He's like, just wait till you see his take on the vampire witnesses who come to Forks around the globe. So, yeah, I mean, they've got to look really cool and exotic and different. And
the makeup designer as well.
Yeah.
Jean Black.
Yeah, that'll be... Oh, right.
That's the person who did the Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Which is crazy, because that movie freaked me out a lot.
Why did it freak you out?
The elderly baby.
Oh, yeah, that was a little weird. Yeah. Right, that was a little weird.
But, you know, Jean Black probably does really good work.
Yeah, so it sounds like he's surrounding himself with a lot of great... experienced people. The visual effects supervisor has done everything between Poltergeist and Avatar, and that's going to be important because Renesmee, we're waiting for that, you know, what this baby is going to be like. Thank you, Mr. Bill Condon.
I just had an idea. Well, since I don't know how much they're going to age Renesmee, but, you know, being that she grows so fast, they could probably take the same makeup style from Benjamin Button, because he made, what's his face, Brad Pitt.
Oh, yeah.
Going to old, and so.
And that looked decent, you know? Yeah,
as believable as it could be, and so that's actually really encouraging for me.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, more power to him. He definitely needs a lot of good professional people around him. You know, this is not amateur hour anymore. You know what I mean? It's not like back to the first Twilight movie. There's a lot.
The first Twilight movie with bad makeup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No bad makeup for this. So thank you to Mr. Bill Condon for keeping us up to date. those of you who are Lost fans will know this actress's name. Maggie Grace has joined the cast of Breaking Dawn, and she is going to play Irina. And I had to wiki her, so I went to the Twilight Wiki. She is the woman in the book who tells the Volturi about Renesmee, and misinterprets that Renesmee was created, you know, was a vampire baby, didn't understand who Renesmee was, and basically, you know, was sort of the impetus to having all the other vampires around the world being called by the Cullen family to have help so that they could be defended, so they can help defend against the Volturi. So she's going to be mean. She's going to be a little mean vampire. And I think that works. You guys, Josh, what do you think? You watch Lost. Did you like Maggie Grace?
I forget which character she was in Lost.
Shannon.
Okay. Yeah. I'm interested to see her in the vampire. While. Yeah. In the Twilight universe. That'll be intriguing.
Judging on her character from Lost, like she was such a B word in that show. I can see her doing a very good job playing Irina, and given her, like, her facial features and, like, what she looks like, I could see her as a vampire just because she's got that, she's got the pale skin and the blonde hair, just like Irina in the book.
She's really good at looking upset.
Oh, yeah.
She's really pouty. Looking upset and pouty. So you could see her up on a ledge looking down, seeing Bella and Jacob with Renesmee running around and going, "What?" You know, there is no vampire baby. That's against the rules. Yeah, I could totally see her doing well. It's nice, you know, it's like a familiar face to a lot of people. So that'll be good, I think. And moving on to True Blood news, Stephanie, or who put this in here? Shannon, did you put this in here?
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
I remember when we were talking about how they had up the costumes that somebody could win the different costumes from True Blood. So I signed up for that and I put in my email, and then I got this email from HBO, thestore.com, saying that they had this really cool Halloween party set for True Blood. Oh. And it comes with a martini shaker, some red stainless martini glasses, a bottle opener that says True Blood on it, and it's in the shape of the bottle, and then it also comes with a pack of True Blood. So I checked it out. It's kind of expensive. It's $71 for the Halloween set, limited edition, but it's all sold out, so I'm pretty bummed about that.
Oh, that sucks. So
they have some other individual items though.
Yeah, they do have some other sales going on in their store right now for Halloween, since it kind of, you know, goes along with the whole holiday, True Blood does. So, if anybody wants to, check it out, because they have tons of stuff right now.
Yeah, I would love, like, a set of pint glasses. They have some with the Fantasia logo on them.
Yeah.
And the True Blood logo. It's really cute.
Oh, Halloween gifts. Cute. Yep.
So, are you guys planning to dress up for Halloween? I think I'm going to try, but I don't know. I don't have an idea yet. I don't know that I'm going to be Sookie or any of the Merlot's waitresses.
I want to dress up, but I'm going to be on a cruise in Italy, so I think I'm just going to wear, like, kid ears and a tail or something small.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's easy, you know?
Yeah.
Stephanie, what do you think? Are you going
to
dress up?
Yeah, I mean, I want to dress up. I'm not really sure what I'm going to be yet, though. I'm likely going to do one of those like duo costumes, like with my boyfriend.
Oh, nice.
Set of friends, but I'm not entirely sure I can convince him to do any. I can't convince him to do anything vampire related. He might just throw a fit.
I thought he's watching True Blood with you.
He does watch True Blood, but I don't think he would want to dress up as one like Eric or Bill or anything. Oh,
come on. Well, how about Sam? Sam is, you know.
Sam. I don't know. I like Sam.
It's like more
Sam
low key.
Just wants regular clothes and
You just need the flannel.
Yeah pretty much.
I think people would be like, "Why didn't you dress up? You're so not into this."
Get a Lafayette cap dress.
Oh, he's not going to do Lafayette. I'll tell you right now, he will not do Lafayette. But so I'm undecided. But I will end up when I decide. I'll let you guys know.
I'm just trolling down the. The shop of a True Blood shop right now, and like, oh yeah, there's a bunch of t-shirts, but you know, it's either, you know, you're Sookie. I don't know if you're Jason. You just got to have blonde hair and wear a Bon Top t-shirt or something, or no shirt. I don't know.
I wouldn't mind being a Merlot's waitress, but I feel like you have to have like blonde or red hair.
They haven't really had anybody. It's been a while since season one, since they had someone.
No Asian waitresses.
Yeah, that's
no
true.
Asian waitresses. Yeah.
Where's the equality here?
Well, yeah. we'll reconvene on the whole Halloween thing. Maybe next week we'll have better ideas. Okay, moving on to Vampire Diaries. And before we get into our recap, Chloe Moretz, who I was talking about, who plays the little vampire in Let Me In, apparently is a huge Vampire Diaries fan, believe it or not.
Nice.
She says, quote, "Vampire Diaries is my favorite TV show ever. It's like my number one show," she gushes. "The Lockwoods are cool werewolves, but I'm pretty down with the whole Ian Somerhalder vampire thing." So I guess we can...
she's got a crush.
Yeah, I think she has a crush.
She is Team Damon. Put Chloe on Team Damon. And yeah, so I think that's cool. She's totally into the show. Yay. And also the cast is going to be at, some of the cast is going to be at New York Comic Con. Dang it. I wish they would have come to Dragon Con, but oh well. October 10th, I guess.
Tell Ron to check it out.
Yeah, you're going to go? You're going to go?
Ron from iFanboy will have him go check out the vampires while he's there.
Jeremy is going to be there. Aunt Jenna, Bonnie, Matt are also going to be joined with executive producers Julie Plec and Kevin Williamson. So I wish I wish they would have been over Dragon Con, but whatever.
I miss Jeremy. He hasn't been around. He wasn't even in this past episode.
He's just been kind of like I don't know what. You know,
who cares?
What?
No, I don't mind him, but I don't really miss him either. So,
well, he's not as annoying as he was in the first season.
That's true, but he still just doesn't feel. I mean, the other characters' stories are much more engaging at this point. So,
He's supposed to be, you know, bonding with Damon, you know, doing the whole brotherly thing, but they just kind of dropped off.
I think, you know, he's going to come back, and I think his role is going to be a lot more important. So
he went. He's like at summer camp or something.
Is he? He's at Gilbert camp trying to figure out how to stake vampires and things like that. Funny. But good for anybody. If anybody's going to New York Comic Con, let us know. We'd love to about the panel, the Vampire Diaries panel, and also just say lucky you. So let us know if you're going to go to New York Comic Con. All right, why don't we go ahead and let's get into our recap of Vampire Diaries Season 2, Episode 4, titled Memory Lane. So this episode was the mega flashback episode. Flashback and, you know, coming back to, reality and... So Stefan, you know, has this dream and looks longingly over at Elena, who's playing pool with Damon. Looks like they're a little couple, you know. I kind of knew this was a dream, you know, from the beginning, but I was like, whoa, this is interesting. Is this, you know, a sign of things to come kind of thing, you know? Yeah, a little foreshadowing, right? And then he wakes up. And immediately I see the curly hair and I'm like, that is not Elena. They do a really good job of making sure, you know, curly hair is Catherine.
Right.
Straight hair is Elena. So what did you guys think of this? What did you guys think of the, sort of all the flashbacks Catherine and Stefan? I mean,
I love flashback episodes.
Do we believe Catherine now? That she's really there and that she really loves Stefan. Do we believe this now?
I didn't believe it until the last scene. I mean, I thought that... I mean, she's been painted out to be so conniving and so I don't know, dishonest, I guess. And we know that she'll go to any length to get what she wants. So I don't know if it was her true feelings or if she's just doing what she has to do to get what she wants. I couldn't tell until the
end. Until the last scene. And then the last scene, are you convinced now?
Yeah.
But you are. These flashbacks, they're from her point of view, so...
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
She could be lying.
Yeah, you think you still think she could be lying? See, I'm a little hesitant to believe it still. I just don't...
I don't trust her.
I don't trust her either. I think that's my issue. I'm just like... And when that whole thing happened at the end, when she's, you know, putting her hand on Stefan and we'll be together again and stuff, like, there was something about it that I just couldn't trust, you know? Like,
I'm wondering if those flashbacks were just, like, you know, from her point of view, what she was telling, and us as the audience sees the flashbacks as, oh, this is what really happened. But it's confusing because I don't know who to believe right now.
Right, because we see her in Stefan's head, you know, messing with him. So it's like, yeah, what is real and what isn't? You're right. Josh, what do you think? Are you...
I'm more inclined to believe that that's at least part of the reason she's there at this point. But I do agree with you guys that I still am not convinced that that's the only reason, that there's not some other aspect that she's... you know, some other goal that she's aiming for. So
yeah, even Stefan isn't convinced.
But I did really like seeing at least these extra dimensions of her, that even though she is still, you know, pretty completely evil, there does seem to be some actual emotions within her still, perhaps. You know, I'm not saying that they'll lead to anything good, but right. But I do have a little bit more feeling for there being at least some depth to her.
We have a flashback clip, right, Josh?
Yes. This is when Stefan was speaking to Catherine before he was turned and before he knew what she was.
I know we've only known each other for a short while, and I know I'm in competition for your affections. I've never met a woman quite like you. I look at you and I see an angel. I touch your skin and my entire body ignites. I kiss you and I know that I'm falling in love.
You don't know about me, Stefan.
More to learn in love.
I'm gonna say goodnight.
I've upset you?
No. You haven't upset me. You've just surprised me. Until tomorrow. What are you doing here?
I told you I would come.
Well, I'm tired. You should go.
Did my little brother's confession overwhelm you?
You shouldn't eavesdrop.
Was my love not enough?
I told you. I'm tired. I wish to be alone tonight. Please leave.
Good night, Catherine.
Torture me. Keep me captive. Drain me of my blood until my body turns to dust. It'll never change the truth. I never compelled your love. It was real, and so was mine.
Yeah, I mean, she's made that point before, that she's never compelled Stefan. So
and it honestly looks like she's not compelling him in that flashback.
Yeah, yeah, and she looked very surprised when he was sort of pouring his heart out, you know. And,
yeah,
and,
that's
and in a sense touched, mm-hmm. you know.
That's yeah. the most human we've ever seen her. And right. you know, and because if she was completely cold to him, she would have immediately just grabbed that advantage that he was being, you know, opening himself up to her and being vulnerable. And instead, it kind of took her off guard, and she, you know, had to run into her bedroom where Damon was waiting.
And she pretty much kicked him out. Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
You just had this moment with Stefan. Get out.
It looks like she compelled Damon to leave her
oh,
alone.
Oh, she did. She definitely yeah. compelled Damon to go
she
away.
She compelled. Yeah.
Poor
sure.
sucker.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. So, you know, I thought, and then there was this scene too, you know, before she gets locked up in that cage, you know, where he walks up to Catherine, you know, after she's, you know, admitted she's read his diary and whatever. And like, and he's like, well, what is it about you? What is it about you? It looks like they're about to kiss. I literally almost fell for it. I was like, oh, what? I was like, wait a minute, Stefan, I've been backing you for weeks and now you're going to make me mad at you. And no, he just stuck the vervain in her. So that was,
right.
I didn't see that coming. Obviously she didn't at all. Totally right. caught off guard.
Which
so.
Is another, another example of perhaps her, some of her feelings being real, that she was not.
Her guard was down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like she was like wanting, you know, wanting that to be real, I
yes,
guess.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really liked all of that. And I just, you know, when I'm watching this, I really believe this is Catherine. I'm not thinking about the actress playing both Elena and Catherine. I'm really believing that she's this other sort of evil version. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I just think Nina Dobrev is doing a really good job where I don't yeah. see it. You know, now I know it's just it's a hair now. Now I look at the hair and go, oh, okay, that's Catherine.
Right.
And I believe it. You know, I'm not thinking I see Elena in her ever. Never. You know yeah. what I mean? Like it's yeah. just really clear.
Yeah. It was a little rough the first season, some of the first Catherine flashbacks. Mm-hmm. I felt like, oh, I don't know if she's quite pulling this off. But now it's completely solid. Yeah, I agree.
It is. And it's even better, you know, as she's here in Mystic Falls in the present day.
Yes.
And, you know, even looking at, you know, that face-to-face scene where Elena and Catherine were looking at each other. Mm-hmm. She does that. Catherine does that head tilt, you know, kind of like.
Yeah, she does.
Like an animal does a head tilt when yeah. they're like looking at something and sort of examining. It's very, you know, it's kind of almost like, oh, no, I hate that tilt. Because I feel like that head tilt means something, you know, like she's going to go after her or something. But she didn't, you know. And the thing is, if she wanted Elena dead, it would have happened already. Right?
Yeah.
So
right.
maybe she needs Elena for something or maybe yeah. doesn't even really care. You know, Elena to her is not, I don't know.
Well, no, I think she does care because it's tied into the threat she
true.
Unleashes on
Stefan.
Stefan.
That guy.
That guy. Some minor character.
Yeah.
But I think having Elena alive and doing things to make both Elena and Stefan uncomfortable has more advantage to her. If she just killed Elena immediately, then Stefan would declare all out war on her. There would be no reason for him not to kill her as soon as he could. So
true.
So yeah, I mean, as much as I'm seeing some possible better sides to Catherine, or at least more emotionally complicated sides, I still think in terms of keeping Elena alive, that might have a completely cynical angle.
And so you have a threat here. You have a Catherine threat
yes.
soundbite, right, Josh?
Yes.
I want what I want, Stefan. And I don't care what I have to do to get it. My list of victims is a long one, and I have no problem adding one more name to that list.
Come on, Catherine. If you wanted Elena dead, you would have done it by now.
Still can. If I have to, I will snap her neck like a twig, and you know it. Guess you don't hate me as much as you thought you did.
I don't want you seeing Elena anymore. If you don't remove her from your life, I will kill everyone that she loves while she watches, and then I will kill her while you watch.
Don't you ever think for one moment that I will not kill you.
I have been sipping Vervain every single day for the last 145 years. You caught me by surprise once. I wasn't gonna let it happen again. It doesn't hurt me, Stefan.
What? Boy.
I told you. I've missed you, Stefan. I just wanted to spend some time with you.
Hello? So she was faking it when he injected her, right? Because she is immune to this?
Well,
or she just...
Yeah, it seems like she built up a tolerance.
I think a tolerance, yeah, because I think that much for Vain when he injected
was enough
her
to was, make her... But then she knew she was going to be okay because she's been sipping it every day for the last how many...
Yeah.
Some odd, 145 years.
right.
She's immune. She's a high tolerance for this stuff.
But then my question is, why does her face start like burning whenever he took the plan against her skin?
Well, maybe that...
I guess she didn't have enough tolerance or something?
Well, maybe that happens no matter what.
Maybe it's worse if she didn't have the tolerance. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe it heals more quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said, because there was some point where she said, you know, like she is... Since she's sipping it, she was just taken off guard when Stefan stuck her with it. It wasn't that she was hurt. She was just surprised. And I guess Stefan has that thing where he's the only one who can surprise her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like I mentioned, That's true. I was pretty surprised when she threw him. I was like, what? Wait, what? That was a really good reveal, I thought.
Yeah.
And then
she got vicious too.
She did. She got really vicious. And I just want to mention Caroline really quick, who was working for Catherine. And you know, there was that one scene too where she like blurted out to Elena, "Don't leave me," you know, when they were, you know, she was trying to buy time because she knew what was exactly happening. And at that point, I forgot that she was working for Catherine. I was thinking maybe she just knew that Stefan, I was thinking that, you know, she knew Stefan was going to be holding Catherine, or I forgot that Catherine had threatened her. And then, you know, poor Caroline, you know, basically, telling her again in the bathroom, like, you failed and you know, don't do it again kind of thing.
Oh man. I felt bad for Caroline cause she had to be so brutally honest with, Elena when she was like, you know, you're going to be 70 years old in a snap and Stefan's still going to be, you know, smoking hot. And I was like, ooh, she just called Stefan smoking hot.
Yeah, she did. Didn't she? Is that foreshadowing?
Like, hey, you know, that's your friend's man there. You can't call him smoking hot.
But Caroline's putting all these doubts into Elena's head. You know, I really think it's foreshadowing about her and Damon. Elena and Damon.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing, though, right? Like, if she's with Damon or Stefan, like...
Yeah, I mean, all those things apply to Damon as well.
It's because, you know, she will grow old and stuff, in a sense. So, all right, let's move on to the Lockwood curse. And, okay, we had the little... What is this? Lunch party? It wasn't dinner party.
It was a barbecue.
Oh, yeah, Damon's...
It was a barbecue.
Barbecue
with Pictionary. Yeah. I liked it.
And so we had Mason, Jenna, Alaric, Damon. Am I missing anybody? It was just
Caroline was there too.
And Caroline, that's right. So and Elena was there, obviously. So they had the little, you know, get to know Mason deal, and you know, you see Damon possibly getting the silver knife, you know, and all this
and
stuff.
Mentioning Wolf as many times as he can in conversation.
That was
You're barking up the wrong tree.
Barking up the wrong tree. That's right. Yeah, he just was very transparent. He's looking at him like, I know what you are. I know you. And it felt like Alaric. You know, Jenna's clueless, right? So. Mm-hmm. Jenna and Matt are the clueless ones at this point, right? I'm like waiting for them not to be clueless anymore. They're like the only ones left in the like the main cast who are clueless, right?
Yeah.
Am I missing anybody? No.
We don't Jeremy know if knows? Jeremy knows.
He knows. We don't know if he knows about werewolves, but he knows about everything else.
Right.
That's a lot. And then we know. Oh no. Carolyn's mom is. Well, no, she knows about vampires. You know, it's different. Like I feel like right. Jenna and Matt don't know anything about the supernatural. Whereas you know you've got like the council. And they all know. And now we're finding out more people are starting to know. But we've got like some, you know, principal characters, I will call them, because they're on the show a lot, like Jenna and Matt, who don't know a dang thing, even though there's like crazy stuff happening. So, okay, so they have this this party, which is interesting, and I also like how Jenna is like constantly dogging, you know, Damon. Without really knowing that was really Catherine that he was kissing and not Elena. And Elena's just like, what? You know, completely like, no, what are you talking about? So Josh, you have another soundbite about the curse.
Well, that's later when Tyler confronts his brother. So I don't know if you want to.
Oh, well, we should talk a little bit more just about how Damon pretty much. Well, you know, Mason wanted to just call it, you know, sort of a truce. Like, I'm not hurt you, you know? And he was, you know, pretty much. And we know that he's not here to hurt that. He was trying to lock himself up and all this stuff. Right. I could sense that he was just feeling bad about his situation and was doing as much as possible in order to not hurt anybody. Oh. So we know he's not evil. But Damon.
He's being an instigator. He's just trying to, you know, he was trying to make Mason angry, and he was just trying to make an enemy out of him.
Well, and then he had to go stick him, you know.
Yeah, that wasn't smart.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess Damon just felt threatened and didn't. I guess Damon just thought, you know, I have to get rid of him. Is that, you know?
I guess Damon just thought that he was lying about wanting to form some kind of truce, and he was just like, this is a werewolf which can kill me and my brother, so I'm going to try to kill it. But
well, the truce is definitely off
now. The truce is off regardless. Yeah.
Yeah. Damon's constantly like trying to get rid of things that could hurt him and his brother. You know what I mean? Like he's constantly killing people who know and find out and, this
and some people on the side.
This is very much along the same lines of what Damon would really do. You know what I mean? This is continuing his behavior. So,
and I guess we also find out that silver really doesn't affect, the werewolves, because Damon stuck him with that silver knife, and
he just took it right back out.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you know what? I think the werewolves are the ones who actually made up that
silver harmful. And you fell for it, stupid vampire. Now we've started the quote unquote possible war, right?
Good one, Damon. Yeah,
good job, Damon. He's there. He's, you know, I feel like he's there to mess everything up and then clean everything up at the end.
There goes Damon, starting more drama.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's because of him that lots of things were in play. And then in the end, I feel like he's just going to fix it. But then he's going to start something again, and then he's going to have to fix that. And, you know, I don't know. That's our Damon. So should we hear this quote? Or should we hear this next bit?
Yes, Tyler's been angry because he now knows that Mason's a werewolf, but Mason is refusing to tell him any more details about why that is. And so that comes to this little argument.
You still pissed?
You still keeping secrets?
Yep, then I'm still pissed.
Hey, you know, I was thinking about that stone you're looking for. I might know a couple places it could be.
Do you think this is a joke? If you know where it is, then tell me.
Tell me how the curse is triggered.
Well, if I tell you, you won't be able to think about anything else. I don't want that for you.
I think I can handle knowing.
Yeah, you think you can handle a tough guy? You have no idea.
You want your stupid rock or not?
Tell me where it is.
Tell me what triggers the curse.
You have to kill somebody. Human blood. You take another person's life away from them, then the curse is yours forever.
Can you handle that?
I don't know. Do you think
who Mason killed?
I'm sure we'll find out eventually.
Now that we know that that's how he got the curse, I wonder what murder.
Right. I sense a flashback in some upcoming episode.
Now that we know how you end up getting triggered for the curse, I wonder if that moonstone keeps you from triggering it every month thereafter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm guessing, that it's something that if you have it in your possession, you won't transform during the full moon.
Yeah.
But that's just a guess. But
yeah, we just don't know yet. We don't know yet. Good reveal, though. Very good reveal. You know, it's sort of like we're now starting to get all the puzzle pieces together to this to the Lockwood mystery and the curse. So everybody still feel the same about Tyler and Mason? And what do you guys think? How are you guys feeling about the Lockwoods?
I like Mason. I liked him more after this episode. Because he didn't seem like some, I don't know, like, just surfer dude.
Yeah, I think he's there to, you know, help protect Tyler and, you know, try to maybe teach him about what's happening to himself. And he obviously doesn't want to hurt anybody because he tried to get those kids out of the forest when they were having the party. He roped himself in chains when he changed into a werewolf. So he's obviously not trying to hurt anyone. So I like Mason. Altogether,
dude, every once in a while he reminds me of Ryan Reynolds for whatever reason. I know, in a good way, you know.
And like, now that you said that, I'm gonna notice it every episode.
Well, at the end of last week's, not this one that we're recapping, but the one before that, when he was just like shirtless and just kind of like, I don't know, you see the chains or whatever, he just kind of looked dirty. And I don't know, he looked like Ryan Reynolds in that scene for me, for whatever reason. Just resembled a little bit. But that's a good thing. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about Elena and Stefan, because the whole time, you know, Caroline was trying to keep Elena away from the Salvatore house. And Elena's like, okay, hey, Stefan hasn't called me back. I should be worried, right? I should be worried he hasn't called me back. And she's like, no, it should be okay. I'm sure he's fine. You know, like, come on. No, I would be like weirded out too. Why is he not calling me back? You know, he would just pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm doing X. You know, I'm busy.
Where are my text messages? God.
Yeah, hello. Just text me back. Text me back. I'm fine. I'll call you back in 10, whatever. So, you know, she, like we mentioned before, pressed Caroline to, you know, get her to leave and that kind of thing. And we find out that all of it is a ruse, and that it was really a test and whether or not, you know, Catherine had infiltrated anyone. And, you know, they had made a really good judgment guess that it would be Caroline that Catherine would have infiltrated. And they go in the, you know, she finds, obviously, we talked about this already. She finds Catherine in the house. And then thankfully, Catherine just leaves the house.
I love that scene. I want more.
Do you?
I just want more scenes where they're both together. That's just really amazing to see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It is really good. So she leaves the house. And then later we see, I'm trying to remember everything step by step. But, you know, later we see Stefan and Elena at Mystic Grill. And they appear to have a fight that both Caroline and Damon can hear. And I thought it was real. I was like, whoa, they're really angry. Like,
I thought it was real, but it also felt contrived. I was almost getting a little bit angry with the writers because I was
really?
Like, yeah, because I was like, okay, Elena went through this traumatic experience. They should be helping each other, and they're fighting over what exactly? I mean, they need to talk about how they need to deal with Catherine, but that doesn't seem like something that would create that big of a rift. You know, it felt a little bit forced as drama. So then I was glad that we then find out that they were actually putting on an act for the listening parties.
I don't know. I almost believed it just based on the fact that Catherine was so into her threat against killing Elena and Elena's family.
Right.
And so I thought that maybe, I was like, oh, maybe Stefan's trying to be, you know, the dark hero here by like breaking up with her to protect her, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't, I don't buy that. That so yeah, but I don't buy that she would be any safer if he necessarily did that, because then he wouldn't be watching over her. So it seems, I mean, it's a really tricky situation. She's in danger either way. So that's why I didn't completely buy it as an argument, but.
Right.
Okay. Well, Shannon, did you buy it the whole time? Did you think that
I totally thought they were really fighting. And then by the end of it, I was like, holy crap, that was fake? No way.
Tricky.
They're good actors.
Yeah.
It was well done. Yeah, definitely.
The build up during the show or during this episode about like all the doubts that Caroline was putting into Elena's head and Catherine was putting into Stefan's head. And I was just like, crap, this is going to end up with a breakup. And then they started talking that way. And I really thought it was going to happen. I was glad it didn't, though. I was glad it was fake.
Yeah, me too. Because I was thinking, wow, they're going to break these two up already. And you get to see that snicker, that face that Damon
and
had.
You know? I saw Caroline, from Caroline's perspective, like it kind of zoomed in on her ears and how she could hear what was happening in the fight. And I started catching on to, oh, they're doing this to, you know, lead her, that they're splitting up.
Yeah.
I wonder where this is going to lead, though, because if they pretend that they're breaking up, does he also have to pretend to make Catherine happy before he backstabs her? Or it's going to be weird.
I don't know.
Like, what is, you know, pretending going to do? I mean, once Catherine finds out, like once she finds out, because she will, she's going to be just 10 times more mad.
Oh yeah.
Hmm. Or were they just playing? So basically, they're just going to have to lie to everybody.
Yeah.
For a while, right? If they're going to lead this, or are they just going to like just reveal, hey, we were playing you guys?
Well, let's hear their. We have a clip of their discussion right after the fight where they talk about that.
Yes,
so.
Let's.
I hated that fight.
I know, me too. Felt too real.
Did you see Caroline? We were right. Catherine got to her. She was hanging on to every single word.
And it won't be long before Catherine gets a play-by-play.
I wish I was wrong, but I know Caroline too well. It was so obvious that something was up today.
You're not wrong. It's pure Catherine. She's always finding somebody to do her dirty work.
I think Damon was listening to us fight, too. Are you going to tell him that it wasn't real?
The only way Catherine's going to believe it is if everybody believes it. It's the best way to make her think she's getting what she wants.
All this just to get you back.
It's not why she's here, okay? No matter what she says, I know her. Catherine doesn't care about anybody but herself. She never has. She's incapable of love. Facing the ghosts that decide. She's here for another reason.
I kind of wanted to hear the rest of that song.
And while he was saying that, that's when he was saying that story about how he knows Catherine, that's the scene where we see the flashback of Catherine actually going back to say, Damon, we'll meet again or we'll be together again.
Yeah.
She said that she really loved him, so... I don't know. It's kind of a gray area with Catherine to know like how she's really feeling.
Yeah, I'm glad you played that clip because I forgot exactly what they had said in that conversation. So now I feel like, oh, okay, great. Now I know. So they're going to keep on the act, I guess. And I wonder how long that's going to last. You know?
Yeah, that's a lot of acting they'll have to do.
Well, and to two very close people, Damon and. You know, and Caroline. Yeah. I mean, you know, Stefan's going to still mentor, I'm guessing, Caroline. And, you know, Damon's all over trying to take, you know, Elena away. So
Damon's totally going to try to hook up with Elena.
Oh, of course. Of course. So this is gearing up to be pretty good. And more flashbacks, I hope, and more confrontations between Catherine and Elena, hopefully in the upcoming episodes. But we'll be talking about that next week. So I just wanted to go over some of the comments that we had on our blogs and some emails. Let's see here. This is from M on our blog. Ew, Damon and Elena should not be together. Last time I checked, sociopaths are not ideal partners, although Stefan and Caroline did have great chemistry. I was really disappointed with a werewolf. It was like somebody's dog got loose and started vampires. I'm also convinced the vampires, the witch, and the werewolves are going to create a Justice League. And we have
Catherine. Oh my gosh.
That's awesome. Best.
Oh, that's awesome, Em.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I want to see them in superhero outfits, and you know they're all gonna have their own powers. Like, vampire's gonna run fast and be powerful, and the witch is gonna like do her spell, and the werewolves are gonna growl. I don't know.
Right.
Fight. but yeah, I don't know. Thank you, Em. She is obviously Team Stefan, so you're right. Like, why would you want to be with a sociopath? I don't really know. Okay, this is from Chrissy. I have also read the Queen Betsy series from Mary Janice Davidson. Remember, we talked about that last week. They are a very quick read and also very funny. I would highly recommend them. There are 9 books so far, and 10 is due next summer. Oh, my God. These, like, series are so long. Like, there's always like 10, 13, 20 books or something from these popular vampire books. It's hard for me to...
You're so behind.
I am so behind, so behind. In episode 64, you were talking about the moonstone that Uncle Mason was looking for in Lockwood House. I think that if you have that with you when it's a full moon, you will not turn into a werewolf. I think that's why nobody knew about the mayor. It seemed to me that even his wife had no idea what he was. So yeah. She's half clueless. She knows about the vampires, but she doesn't know about the werewolves, it looks like. Do you think Tyler will be like the alpha since his father died? Maybe that's why he was able to stop Uncle Mason from hurting Stefan and Caroline?
Interesting.
Sting. Hmm. Possibly. Like when Jacob was really the true alpha, yeah, and he didn't want that role, you know? Yeah. Let's see. I really hope the Gates gets renewed for a second season. It was starting to get really good, and I really want to find out what's up with Charlie.
Me too.
So we'll see. What do you guys think about that alpha theory?
That sounds interesting. Like, yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
but I'm wondering, because we know now that Tyler has the Moonstone, so let's just say he gives it to Mason, which I think he will. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that means that on the next full moon, Tyler's going to change into a werewolf.
Well, he hasn't killed anyone yet.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he will kill someone.
No. Yeah, I kind of see some kind of death.
Oh,
maybe accidental, but I see something like that happening in the future. Because. Okay.
Oh, I totally
Tyler
see.
Has to become a werewolf at some point.
So wait, so if he kills someone, sorry if I'm mistaking this, if he kills someone, is Mason off the hook or no?
I think it's individual, each person.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, that's
each person with the werewolf gene, as Catherine called it.
The werewolf gene, that's right. and here's an email from Meredith. I don't think I read this one last time. Hello, Bike Clubbers. My name is Meredith. I really love your podcast and wanted to ask your opinions on some things about TBD and Twilight that I've been wondering about for a while. Twilight. I know Stephanie Meyer said she wasn't going to finish Midnight Sun because she doesn't feel she's in the vampire phase, but I was also thinking that she might be holding off because she thinks that if she finishes and publishes it, a lot of fans will want the other 3 books in Edward's point of view. It was just something I assumed, and I would like to see if any of you agree. That's her first question. Second question, about The Vampire Diaries. I've been wondering this since the middle of the first season, but what do you think will happen when, if Sheriff Forbes finds out that Carolyn and Damon are vampires? Thanks, and keep coming with all the fantastic episodes. Thank you, Meredith. Anybody want to take a stab at either one of those?
Sheriff Forbes' life will be completely ruined.
Or there's just going to be one really pissed off sheriff.
Yeah, she'll have the
one
talk.
One vengeful, wanting...
Maybe she will become... Because she's already friended Damon in a way, right? Although she's going to probably feel double-crossed. Maybe she'll have a little bit of compassion because it's her daughter, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe she will rise to the occasion and help them out when they're against Catherine.
I hope she has compassion for her. I hope she doesn't like completely hate her own daughter and like kick her out in the sun without her ring or something.
She'll probably keep their secret, I think.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, because I don't think she can over just change her stance on how she feels about vampires. But yes, I think the compassion will keep her from revealing that her daughter is vampire.
Well, Caroline's like the closest thing she has.
Yep.
To anything. So, yeah, she's got to keep her around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's her daughter. It's not her fault that she, you know, she didn't want to turn into a vampire. It just happened because of Catherine. So. So we're hoping that she's compassionate, Meredith. We're really hoping she's compassionate, but you never know. There's probably going to be a moment of denial and anger and all of that stuff and fear. But maybe it'll turn around. It would be nice if she did find out, though. I mean, you know, she's kind of living in the same house with her. Okay, and about the Midnight Sun thing, what do you guys think? Do you think she might be holding off because she thinks that if she finishes and publishes it, a lot of fans will want the other three books in Edward's point of view? I don't think so, actually.
I don't think so. I don't think it's ever a bad thing if fans want more.
Yeah. I think she was thrown off because someone revealed the manuscript, an early manuscript before it was supposed to go out, and so that threw her off, and she probably just is still mad, you know, about that whole situation. Yeah. I don't know that I really want the other books in Edward's point of view. It would be nice, but I don't think I would be expecting it. I think I would have thought this was just a special one-time thing.
Yeah, a special edition type thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, this book, I think is enough. So, and I'm sure fans want more. And you know, you want them wanting more all the time, but you know, I think we all kind of know. So, anyways, also Bike Club, you may have mentioned the upcoming vampire movie Vamps, but in case you haven't seen it, here is a link. I'm going to put this link in our rundown, you guys. You guys can see it now. But it is, where'd it go? Alicia Silverstone's Vamps cast more bloodsuckers and a human. Vamps is one of those upcoming films that we just keep getting more and more excited about. Really? Okay.
I haven't talked about it at all.
I don't think so. Mm-mm. It sounds totally new to me.
So yeah, SoCal Jess, I don't think we've mentioned this. Amy Heckerling will direct, and Alicia Silverstone. Amy Heckerling directed Clueless with Alicia Silverstone, and then Sigourney Weaver will star. It sounds like it's could be like a fun like comedy.
Maybe could be good.
And Malcolm McDowell is in this.
Wow.
And he, you know, he's been in Entourage, so you know I've seen him in like funny stuff. But let's see here. To refresh the film, already boasts Alicia Silverstone and Kristen Ritter as two beautiful female vampires living the good life in New York City, which is interrupted when love comes into the picture. Oh, love destroys everything in these vampire books. Sigourney Weaver played as the vampire queen who turned them and a whole bunch of pretty men like Dan Stevens and Justin Kirk, who I don't know. I'm going to have to click on these links. Will be there for the ogling. What could make this cast any better? Malcolm McDowell. Blah, blah, blah. Who is Dan Stevens? So this, it sounds kind of campy. I don't know. I don't really know what to think. But sounds good. Thank you for letting us know about this. I'm excited to know more. This could be fun, right? Or it could be in the downturn phase of vampire, where everybody's seeing vampires. Right. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm suspending judgment, but I'm interested. I'll keep tabs on it.
We're always interested, right, Josh? We're always interested.
Of course.
Okay. And finally, one last email from Angela. Hey, Bike Club show. First off, I just want to say that Nina Dobrev is so good as both Catherine and Elena. Totally agree. It's not just the hair change. You watch close and can see what she's doing. It's great and not over the top. I sometimes forget that I am watching the same actress, even though I know I am. Second, Uncle Mason is totally hot. Maybe it's the werewolf thing and maybe not. I guess I am leaning towards the shifters these days, and I didn't miss all the jokes about Mason being an animal and Damon being a lady killer. Ha ha. Funny. Let's move on. Love the showdown between Mason and Damon. And what about that trigger for turning into a wolf? Have kill somebody. I love how Damon is pouring all his energy into this werewolf thing. Anyhow, next week's show looks really good. Can't wait. I've already forgotten what the preview was.
Did I haven't seen it.
I didn't see it.
Okay, I already forgot.
Shoot, I saw it. I totally forgot.
Okay, good. I'm not just me.
It was unforgettable.
Oh, man. It was Thursday, and we're recording this on Sunday, so it was so long ago. Okay, good books to read. I am glad you're enjoying Vampire Academy. Was looking at Rochelle Mead's website and saw that she won the Teen Read Awards for best series with it. Twilight's Breaking Dawn won for best lip lock. thought since you're a fan, you would like to know. Also, the Undead series by Mary Janice Davidson. So here's another person who's read Mary Janice Davidson. Is a great and easy, fun, fast-paced read. All right. This is like the fourth person who's recommended this series to us.
We have to read them now.
I know. We have to read it now. If you're in the mood for darker, try Janine Frost Night Huntress series. Oh, my gosh. Great read and great charters. Kat being the lead and Bones being the hot love interest. In young adult, we have so many book recommendations. Thank you. In the young adult, we have the Mortal Instrument series by Cassandra Clare. It's pretty good too. Not centered in the vampire world. Oh, it's not. Okay. That's it for now. Love the show. Keep up the work. Keep up the great work. Angela, P.S. Don't know if you caught the first episode of Hawaii Five-O, but a dark-haired Spike was in it playing the bad guy. He died at the end, but it was great to see him. Actually, Angela, we don't know if he died at the end because we didn't see the body. I saw that episode, and yes, James Marsters played the villain, and I think we didn't see his body because he's going to be back as the villain. But I don't know. I didn't watch the episode this week, and after two episodes, I didn't really like the show, so I don't know that I'm going to continue watching. Did anybody watch Hawaii Five-O?
No. During my flights to and from Hawaii, we were kind of being force-fed Hawaii Five-O on the plane, and I just tuned it out.
Really? I didn't even care.
It was too much. Yeah, I didn't care. But all real quickly, I wanted to mention, speaking of our favorite vampires in the wild. I take it you guys all saw Social Network?
I saw it.
Notice that Anna was the...
Oh, she was in it. That's
she
right.
She was the one who took Mr. Zuckerberg into the men's room.
Oh, my God.
Josh,
I missed it. What?
She wasn't in it for that long.
Right.
Yeah. And then she just sat in the living room while they did some nerd talk.
Yeah.
And that was it. But it was her. She looked really cute, real pretty. Just too bad that was her only role, is to
take it to the back.
Do that business.
Yes.
Shannon, have you seen it yet?
No, I live in the boonies of Missouri where we have a cinema with eight different rooms. They don't have enough room for the Social Network, so we don't have it, sadly.
That's why you're moving out here, so you could see it same weekend as us.
I have to drive an hour out of my way to
watch the movie.
The movie.
Wow.
Oh no.
Makes us have a greater appreciation for all the media we have around here.
Yeah,
that's totally why I'm moving.
Yeah, I can't wait to have you here.
Aw, well, then we'll be able to talk about all these movies much faster with you. So, all right. Well, I forgot about the Anna thing. So thank you, Stephanie. Okay. Well, I think that wraps it up for this episode of Bike Club Show. Reminder, you can email us bikeclubshow@gmail.com. Thank you very much for the emails. Thank you very much for any comments on iTunes and for rating us on there. You can subscribe and rate on iTunes. Just do a search for us. Again, you can also post on our blog, bikeclubshow.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Bike Club Show. So until next time, have a good week, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.